Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, your host, coming to you to address some of the salient issues of the present day. We do the best we can to be the sons of Issachar who understand the times and apply the Word of God to the ethical situation of the day. In just a moment, Ray Comfort will be with me to talk about the issue of abortion from an evangelistic aspect. But first, friends, some statistics. You need to know something about the country in which you live. You understand America is not more pro-life today than it was back in 1996. Now, some people are saying Americans are still very, very pro-life, and they are pro-life with some exceptions. Between 56% and 61% of Americans will say they're pro-life between the year 2010 and 2011. There's quite a disparity from year to year. In other words, the standard deviation or the variation of those who say they're pro-life seems to vary quite substantially from year to year. Americans tend to be fairly fickle on this particular issue. They shift their views rather rapidly from one perspective to another, up and down, up and down, up and down. Between 2010 and 2011, they were between 56% and 61% pro-life with exceptions. Now, you go back 15 years, 1996 to 1998, they were between 58% and 63% pro-life with exceptions. So, is there much difference between 58% to 63% 15 years ago and the 56% to 61% in just the last 2 years, 2010 to 2011? Pro-life with exceptions. Well, I'm here to tell you that Americans tend to be a bit fickle. They tend to throw in a lot of exceptions, as in exceptions for rape and incest, and they tend to be somewhat fickle on abortion. Now, here's one of the reasons. One of the reasons is because so many Americans have had an abortion. The estimates are 35% of Americans have had clinical abortions, but you have to remember also that women are taking the day-after pill. Since 2006, they have not needed a doctor's prescription for a day-after pill. Anybody can get it, so now the increase of those taking the day-after pill, and that is an abortion early on in the pregnancy, has increased by a factor of 200% since 2006, meaning that approximately 10% of American women are taking the day-after pill. Meaning that 45%, if you add the 35% of clinical abortions to the 10% who are taking the day-after pill, you come to about 45% of Americans who've had abortions. Now, if 45% of Americans have had abortions and 56% to 61% are pro-life with exceptions, then it appears to me that just about everybody who has not had an abortion is pro-life, with an additional of 5 to 6% that are pro-life with exceptions who perhaps have had an abortion and have repented of that abortion and now are taking a position against abortion. So I take the 45%, juxtaposition that against the 56 to 61%, which is roughly about 60%, and you find there's probably about 5 to 6% of Americans who have had an abortion and today would claim to be pro-life. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's the responsibility of Christians to continually get out there and convict the world of sin by bringing the Word of God to bear and appeal ourselves to the consciences of men. That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We take our gospel, we appeal to the consciences of men, that internal force within them that reminds them that they're sinners before a holy God. They've broken His law. And one of the laws that Americans have broken is the Sixth Commandment. They have murdered their own children. They have blood on their hands. And it's difficult to give them the bad news, but we do have to give them the bad news before they receive the good news. And that's what Ray Comfort does so well. He's got a great video, a new documentary, a powerful documentary coming out called 180themovie.com. We'll be talking about that in just a moment with Ray Comfort. Stay with me.
I have always felt that doubt was the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of God was the end of wisdom.
Clarence Darrow.
The only true wisdom is knowing that you know nothing.
Socrates.
Belief is the death of intelligence.
Robert Anton Wilson.
If thou trusteth to the book called the Scriptures, thou trusteth to the rotten staff of fables and falsehood.
Thomas Paine.
Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Mark Twain.
Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered.
God.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight.
God.
The fool believes his own ideas to be wisdom, but those who fear God and search for understanding find true wisdom. To lead your family in the pursuit of godliness, pick up a copy of the Proverbs Study Guide at generationswithvision.com.
Welcome back to the Generations Broadcast, friends. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. And today we want to talk about the pro-life issue as it addresses itself to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Abortion is a major issue in America. And as we approach America, we have to look at the nation's sins because, obviously, we want to drive people to Christ for forgiveness at the cross of Christ. And we want to see some faith and repentance as people turn to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you've got to start with the bad news. And part of the bad news is the issue of abortion. So many Americans have been affected by the problem, the sin of abortion. And this is a major issue, not just a political issue, but a major moral issue across this country. And with me to talk about this today is Ray Comfort, who's been on the program before. He's an excellent evangelist. He's part of the Living Waters Ministry and also has come out with a new movie called 180, found at 180movie.com. Ray Comfort, welcome back to our program, my friend.
Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great to have you. I mean, and now you've got, I just read your site. This is the biggest evangelistic project to date for you. I mean, this has got to be big.
It is huge. We stopped everything, including production of our television program because of this.
Wow.
We're so excited about it.
Wow. Wow. So what's happening Sunday? Because the whole thing's coming out Sunday.
Yeah, it's a 33-minute documentary called 180,
okay,
in which you will see eight people who are adamantly pro-abortion becoming pro-life in a matter of seconds because of one question that I asked them.
Huh. And Ray, I have to tell you, I've seen the promo to the video at 180movie.com. I have not seen the documentary yet, and I'm wondering what the question is. Obviously, you're not going to give it away on the show here. You're wanting people to go to 180movie.com, but give us a little background for this.
It's free to watch.
Okay.
And the reason I'm not giving it out is because one pastor watched this and he says, you don't watch 180, you experience it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you've ever done magic for kids or sleight of hand for kids. Their eyes are like saucers. They just think it's wonderful. But if you show them how you do the trick, they'll often go, is that all?
Mm-hmm.
The magic goes because I've shown how a trick is done. Exactly the same would happen if I told you the question and asked people, because it's out of context, it would lose its magic because you don't see the people's eyes light up when light comes to them, when they begin to understand what the issues are. You know, I didn't plan to do a pro-life movie. It was actually supposed to be a movie based on Adolf Hitler, based on a book that I wrote called Hitler, God, and the Bible. I said to my publishers, would you like a video called Hitler's Religion, because it's fascinating? And they said, yeah. So we embarked upon that, but my script was too big, and we became overwhelmed, so I said to my editor, I'm just going out to find out what people believe about Adolf Hitler, and it came back with 14 interviews, mainly university students, from people who didn't know who Adolf Hitler was.
Wow.
14 of them. I could have got more, but they wouldn't come on camera.
Mm.
And it blew me away, and then I went out on the streets again, and I got footage from a neo-Nazi named Steve, who was anti-Jew, hated blacks, hated Jews, loved Hitler, hates America, and he's an atheist, and he's got a 14-inch blue mohawk, and just very, very colorful. And then I got another interview, a secret interview with a hidden camera with a German who hates America, who's also a Jew-hating neo-Nazi. And then I just happened, all this was unplanned footage, get a Russian Jew and talk to him, and I found out that he'd lost his mother, his father, his aunt, and his grandmother to the Nazis. So it's very, very compelling footage.
Wow.
It's like an emotional roller coaster. You just go all over the place with the thing. So,
But you're dealing with the real social fabric of this nation today. I mean, you're not talking about the nation back in 1930, 1950, 1970. You're looking at a cross-section of America today.
Yeah, over 50 million Americans have been murdered through abortion.
Yeah.
And it's something we should be horrified about.
Yeah.
You know, years ago, someone said to me, you know that lady Fran? I said, yeah. They said, she's having an abortion. I said, you're kidding.
Huh.
And I said, whereabouts? And they told me. I said, when? And it was about 2 or 3 hours away. So I jumped into my car and drove like a maniac into town, went up to the second story of the hospital, praying that God would give me wisdom as to what to say to this woman. And I rushed into a room. She was sitting on the bed. She'd had pre-operation medication. I looked at her, and I just didn't have any words of wisdom. I just said, please don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at me and smiled, and she said, it's okay. I'm not going to have an abortion. I just prayed, God, if you don't want me to have an abortion, make Ray Comfort come up and see me.
Wow.
And there I was. Didn't have to say a word. I said, well, this is me. And then I left, and 2 years later I was at a church picnic, and I saw Fran, and in front of her was this little girl in the grass, crawling around. So I bent down and grabbed the cheek and swung her cheek, you know how we do with kids. And as I looked into the eyes of this child, I realized what the issue is with abortion. These are human lives that are being taken. In Genesis 9:6, God says, if you spill the blood of a man, you spill your own blood because of it, because this man that you killed is made in the image of God. You can't kill a, you can't murder a horse. You can't murder a dog. The word murder is reserved for human beings because they're of incredible value in the sight of God. And when you take the life of a child in the womb, you are committing murder and sinning against God. So this is something should horrify every single, especially Christians throughout this nation.
Ray, take a moment and tie it into the gospel of Jesus Christ. I mean, this is a part of the gospel, but how does it tie in?
Well, we had people say, this is such a powerful pro-life message, it's just nothing like it. Why don't you just take the gospel part out? And I thought, you know, you've got more chance of flossing the teeth of the lions at the L.A. Zoo, the back teeth of the lions at the L.A. Zoo, during feeding time, as you have of getting me to remove the gospel from this movie, because of the fact that abortion and all these other issues like homosexuality are just rotten branches on the Adamic tree, and the gospel goes to the root, it cuts to the root. So we've got this guy Steve, the neo-Nazi anti-everything, actually does a complete 180 in the movie. You see him change from the most hateful person you can imagine to someone who's deeply concerned about his eternal salvation, as you do a number of other people. So we're excited about it, not only because it deals with the issue of abortion, but it deals with the issue of man's salvation all in 33 minutes.
Yeah. And you've got to come back to the law of God. God says don't murder, and it has something to do with the fact that he made us in his image, and we're not dogs, we're not cats, we're not horses. And so many people have committed this crime of abortion in America. And I call it a crime. It's a sin. It's a gross sin.
Lives have been taken.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Often it's a couple that are saying, yeah, let's get rid of this child, and it's horrific. It really is. We're in the middle of the American Holocaust.
Yeah.
And we're like people outside the gates of the concentration camps, wondering what's going on the inside. And no doubt many good Germans protested, perhaps with literature or maybe standing outside the gates and saying what's happening, and gave their lives in the cause of righteousness. But we don't have to give our lives. We can do something practical by giving away this video. We're actually giving away 200,000 copies of the DVD in one day at 100 universities across the U.S. During the month of October. We still want people to get hold of this. And the way to change a nation is to go to the youth of the nation, because the youth are today's future.
And the video has a tremendous impact on people, has a visual impact on them. And it may be used by God, and we're going to pray that it'll be used by God to turn the hearts of people back to God.
Yeah, we're so delighted. We've got endorsements from Kay Arthur and Johnny Erickson Tata, John Piper, the Duggar family, who are kind of pro-life, with 19 children.
Yeah.
You know, someone wrote on my blog, Michelle Duggar needs to shut her womb. And I said, you get out of her reproductive rights. She has made a choice to have 19 children, and she should have the liberty to do so. It's so crazy how people think they can speak up, speak against pro-life.
Right.
And
you can choose to murder. You can't choose to have kids.
That's what I was trying to say.
That's the whole
say.
Deal there,
so,
yeah.
So the Duggars have been very, very supportive. We met them up in Washington, D.C., and screened 180 for all the pro-life leaders in D.C., and that was a wonderful thing. And the president of the Justice Foundation said he wept for 30 minutes after watching it. Randy Alcorn, after watching 180, sent us 50,000 copies of his book, Why Pro-Life. So we're very excited with the response.
Wow.
And someone wrote to me, an atheist, and said, you're a despicable little worm, which greatly encouraged me when someone resorts to an ad hominem.
Yeah.
Because they can't justify abortion. They have to attack the arguer rather than the argument.
Mm-hmm. Well, why do people shift their position? I mean, we don't have to get into the question itself, but why do people shift their position on abortion? Are they ignorant about the issue? I mean, is that one of the problems here?
Perspective can be governed by information.
Yeah.
If I said to you, I want you to point up, and as you were pointing above your head, I say, no, that's not right, because I'm from New Zealand, and you're pointing down. as far as New Zealander is concerned, because I'm on the other side of this big ball we call Earth. And when it comes to it, there's no such thing as up or down. And so we get a different perspective as we have different information. I was on a plane, and I took a guy through the same scenario I take people through on camera on 180, and he immediately changed his mind about abortion. Then he looked at me, he says, I like the way you do this. He says, you don't force anything on people. You just give them information and allow them to make up their own minds, and that's exactly what happens on 180. You see people given information.
Yeah.
They have a completely different perspective, and they change their minds, and they'll change the way they vote. They're so adamant about being pro-life.
Mm-hmm. I think the average person doesn't really have a firm grasp of his epistemological system of thought, so he's going to be lacking self-consistency along the way. And part of apologetics has got to be to question their basic foundations for their thinking. It'd point them back to why they think what they think, and then point out the internal inconsistencies with it, which is really what you do with the life issue. Like, you know, what are you doing? You're inconsistent here. You know, on the one hand, you don't want to slaughter innocent babies, but over here you're slaughtering innocent babies. You're pointing out an inconsistency about their way of thinking, aren't you?
Absolutely, and at the same time appealing to their conscience. Everyone has this
yes.
inbuilt, God-given knowledge of right and wrong, and it's very, very powerful. And excuse me, that's why we produced the 180 course I got with Kay Arthur and Randy Elkhorn and Kirk Cameron. And we produced a 180 course for churches and individuals and groups to go through and learn how to speak about the subject of abortion and to address the conscience regarding people's salvation. And that comes with two DVD teachings, Randy Elkhorn's book, and a 64-page study guide. And we've got it down to a really low price. It's $10 for the whole lot of those things, and plus 100 180 tracks to give out to people, so we're very excited about that.
Ray, I have to say, you're one of the most effective on-the-streets, get-the-word-out kind of guys for the gospel of Christ in the 21st century. I don't want to puff you up or anything like this, but let me ask you this, and hopefully this will help minister to other folks to get out there. What motivates you to do what you're doing?
It really is this explosion I've got in me called gratitude.
Yeah, okay.
I can't stop the fire.
Uh-huh.
It started when God saved me from death and hell, and it was explosive the night that he did, and it's still getting bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to do everything I can to love God and serve God and please God and love people, and it's hand in hand with an empathy. You see, I didn't know why I was alive before I was a Christian. I had everything I could want as a non-Christian. My own home, beautiful wife, I had a surf shop, went surfing anytime I wanted, enough money for what I wanted to do, and I thought, what's next? A big car that's going to make my friends hate me, and I thought, you know, I'm waiting around to die. That's all I'm doing. I've got nothing else to do but enjoy life, and I'm waiting around to die.
Uh-huh.
And I went to a doctor, and I thought, I'm at least going to try and extend my life, and I looked down at the doctor as he smoked his cigarette and looked like death warmed up, and I thought, he's got no answer. So I was just left in utter despair until the light came into my darkness, and God saved me from death and hell, and I was so grateful, and I'm so grateful that which I can't put into words, I put into works.
You know, Ray, I think some people want to witness the gospel out there, but it's really tough. It takes a lot of guts to get out there and talk about abortion, talk about sin, talk about how they have come short of the glory of God and they've sinned against a holy God. I mean, that's the bad news. It's hard to bring out the bad news. How do you do that?
Well, it really is. It's like anything you have conquered in life. When you first started in life, you crawled and then you walked and then you rode a bike. You had to apply yourself to riding a bike. When you got in a car the first time and grabbed that wheel, you realized you could kill someone with this vehicle. But as you became proficient and skilled in it, you can now talk on a phone, eat a sandwich, and sing along while you're driving your car with one finger. It just happens like that. And it's the same with evangelism. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not be ashamed. If you're ashamed, that is, you don't know what to say, then you probably haven't studied it. So that's why we've got this 180 course to help you study it, to learn what to say. You can bring the subject of God up without bringing the subject of God up by just saying to someone, what do you think happens after someone dies? And you'll see this in the 180 movie again and again, where I ask people, what do you think happens when someone dies? And there's no offense because I haven't mentioned God or Jesus or the Bible, the blood of Christ, hell or repentance or judgment day. None of those things that make people feel uncomfortable. I've just asked them for their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And you see people open up like a flower in the noonday sun as light begins to come to them. So Anyone can do this. All it takes is for you to apply yourself and to want to do it and to study it.
You have to be aware of the fact, though, that some 35% of Americans have committed an abortion. If you include the morning after pills, it's up to 45% now since the morning after pill. Its usage has doubled since 2006. So figure about 45% of Americans have aborted their children. Do you think people want to be forgiven for murdering their children? And I know that's a loaded question, but how would you answer that? Do people really want to be forgiven for murdering their children?
Yes and no. Guilt is a very, very powerful force. It drives men to drink and drives some to suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And it can sit on your back and grow like a monkey on your back and become heavier and heavier. And so people don't even realize the guilt that they're carrying, like in Pilgrim's Progress. I remember seeing Christian, or whatever he was called before he was called Christian, climb up that hill, look at Calvary's cross, and once that burden rolled off his back, he realized what he'd been carrying and stood strong and tall. So people are blind and lost, their understanding's darkened, they're alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them. And what we have to do, really, because the Bible says there's none that seek after God, is cause their inbuilt will to live, their fear, to do its duty. If you're standing on the edge of a plane, 10,000 feet up, and you had no concern about putting a parachute on, I would hang you out of the plane by your ankles for 5 seconds and pull you back in and say, how do you feel now? Say, whoa. And then I'd hope that your God-given fear or your will to live would cause you to put on the parachute. So the way to get someone to come to Christ and find forgiveness is to hang them out eternity by their ankles for a minute. Let them realize the law of God will do what the law of gravity will do to them. Grind them to powder on the day of judgment. Their God-given will to live and their inbuilt fear will cause them to flee from wrath to come and trust in the Savior.
Very powerful words. Very powerful. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ, friends. And it transforms lives by the millions around the world. And we trust that more are to come in the days and the weeks to come. And may God use this movie, 180movie.com, to make that happen. How do folks get a hold of this, Ray? I know it's coming out Sunday, but give folks a sense for how to access.
Yeah, they'd be good to go and watch it and see that I'm telling the truth about it being very powerful.
Yeah.
And watch it for yourself.
Yeah.
And you can get them for $1 each. They're a value of $10 if you get 10 at once. We want people to give these away. I gave away 100 around a neighborhood day before yesterday, despite the angry dogs that are waiting up some people's driveways. But it's a wonderful way to get the gospel and the pro-life message into the hands of this world. If you go outside a university or a college or a high school when the kids are coming out and give a free DVD away, they're going to snap it up because it's got this $10 perceived value. And they'll watch it, too, because it's got an award-winning symbol on the front and it says shocking video and all great endorsements on the back. So this is a great way to get
it. I can't believe you're getting these things out for $1, Ray. It's incredible.
Yeah, we're very excited to be able to do that.
Yeah. Wow, you can hardly produce it for $1, but we got to get the word out, and folks can get access to these things at 180movie.com. Is that right? Everybody go to 180movie.com.
That's right.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Ray Comfort, again, on the Generations Radio broadcast. Always enjoy having you, Ray. God bless your ministry, man.
Well, thank you so much.
Boy, folks, I'll tell you what, Ray Comfort always motivates me. I mean, that guy is busy. He's getting 200,000 of these videos out in the next couple of weeks, and I want you to pray for his ministry, and hopefully you've been encouraged as well to continue to get out there and get involved. Get the word out. You got a great gospel for a nation that's sunk into the sin of abortion and many, many other self-centered, materialistic aims for life, and none of these things are going to satisfy. Let's get out there. Let's get the word out there. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only hope for the future of this world. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you can interact with this program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com. You can also hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.